Coming up on KSDP News, Alaska has ended its heating assistance program and the state is preparing for next year's subsistence bird harvest. Stay tuned. Good afternoon. You're listening to KSDP 830 AM Sandpoint. I'm Marissa Williams with some local news on Monday, November 14th, 2016. The U.S. Coast Guard rescued an injured fisherman last week from a vessel 230 miles northwest of St. Paul. According to a statement from the Coast Guard, the crew of the fishing vessel Blue North requested a medevac on Wednesday after the 41-year-old fisherman injured his back. The Coast Guard Air Station in Kodiak deployed a Jayhawk helicopter to hoist the man from the vessel and bring him to St. Paul, where a C-130 Hercules airplane transported him to Anchorage for medical care. It could be harder for thousands of Alaskans to stay warm this winter. That's because a state heating assistance program has gone away. In the past, the program offered relief for families and individuals who earned too much to qualify for federal heating assistance. Now, some of those households are starting to feel the effects. From Alaska's Energy Desk, Elizabeth Jenkins has more.
There's a white rectangular box on Diane Buck's wall that's giving her a lot of anxiety.
This is it. That's it.
It controls the heat in her three-bedroom home that she shares with her boyfriend, his daughter, and his daughter's three children. Right now, the thermostat's circular knob is turned to about 60 degrees.
I call it the safe zone, the safe money zone. To get the house at least 69, 70, it'll go up to here. The money zone is what I call it.
And she says that's where her family would feel the most comfortable, at about 69 or 70 degrees. But as Buck suggests, turning the thermostat up to the money zone has consequences. Even coming over here to look at it, she says, fills her with a sense of dread.
It scares me. I really don't like messing with it. That's how afraid I am right now, because if it gets any higher, you know, than $600 a month, I'm screwed. You know, I'm going to get a disconnect notice because I can't pay it.
She says last winter, it wasn't uncommon for her electric bill to climb to $600 a month, her entire disability check. And her boyfriend's income mostly covers the rent. A relative was helping out with some of the expenses last year, but he's moved out. So for the first time, Buck says her family needed the extra help, and she hoped they could rely on a state heating assistance program to stay warm. They were counting on it.
I called them, and they said, well, no, we have a new application because of the budget cuts. And that's when I'm thinking, okay, well, we're still qualified, because who in their right mind is going to, like, do a drastic cut when there's family in need?
The Alaska Heating Assistance Program was created in 2008, when oil prices were high and the cost of heating fuel was too. The application process was the same as its federal cousin, the Low Income Home Energy Heating Assistance Program. But the state version served people above the federal income threshold. In other words, it helped families like Bucks who were on the bubble.
I printed out the application. I had it all filled out.
When the price of North Slope crude was soaring, those funds even carried over to the federal program. There was more heating assistance overall. But the state program didn't make it through cuts to this year's budget.
I could probably heat this house with two candles if I had to.
Fred Berg is also on the Alaska Heating Assistance Program. He's a former state worker on Social Security disability, and he still qualifies for some federal heating assistance. But he says it's about $500 less than what he received before. Still, he thinks he'll be able to make it through this winter. In his words, his financial situation isn't in dire straits, and he understands why the program was cut. But he wishes he would have known more before this November.
It's a delicate subject, you know. You get your hopes up, all right, I might get subsidized a little bit for this, that'll help. And then they turn around and slap you in the face, oh no, I'm going to give you nothing.
The state did send out a letter this summer warning past recipients about the cuts. And besides the declining oil revenue, the state says another reason it's doing away with the program is there just wasn't enough need. But Diane Buck doesn't agree. She says her family could have really used the help.
I mean, it's sad. We actually have to wrap up in blankets. What am I supposed to do? I can't even provide enough electricity. Because if I did, then it'd be over 600.
For now, Buck says it's about keeping the thermostat out of the money zone. From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Elizabeth Jenkins in Juneau.
The Alaska Migratory Bird Co-Management Council is now accepting proposals for next year's subsistence harvest. Alaskans can submit proposals to change regulations surrounding migratory bird hunts. They can also petition to change which communities are included in the 2018 harvest season. The deadline is December 15th. The council will act on proposals in April, just before the season opens, for subsistence hunting. For more information, contact the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Both Senator Lisa Murkowski and Congressman Don Young trounced their nearest challengers on Election Day last week. But as APRN's Liz Ruskin reports, the drama of their victories was overshadowed by what happened at the top of the ticket.
At Senator Lisa Murkowski's victory party, people congregated around the television screens, stunned by the presidential results. Both Murkowski and Congressman Don Young trounced their nearest challengers. Murkowski beat Libertarian Joe Miller by about 14 points, and Young defeated Democrat Steve Lindbeck by about the same margin. The bigger surprise was Trump's win. Alaska Republican Party Chairman Tuckerman Babcock was joyfully adjusting to the idea of a Trump presidency. Babcock says Trump appealed to a different segment of the party than his own.
He speaks kind of right by me. He speaks to a group of people who feel disenfranchised and who really came out to vote for him in the upper Midwest and in the South. And I am surprised. I'm happy, but I am surprised.
Babcock says Trump will be good for Alaska on energy and maybe federal land policy, too.
Well, that's probably the biggest question is how much the federal government will transfer management of lands to Alaska. It's long been a goal of the Republican Party in Alaska. I don't know if Mr. Trump shares that goal, but he shares a lot of goals. And just pro-oil and gas development and the robust military are going to make a big difference.
Murkowski told reporters that one of her first efforts will be a push to open the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge to oil drilling, a goal that has eluded Alaska's congressional delegation for decades. She spoke of finally getting a road through the Eisenbeck National Wildlife Refuge to help King Cove, and then she checked herself.
This is not Christmas. This is governing, and governing is hard work.
Murkowski says Republicans in the Senate will still need to work with Democrats in Congress.
And we will. I will. It doesn't mean that you run them over. It means you still work to gain that consensus. And we'll need that with Anwar. We'll need that with other issues that have always been complicated in Alaska.
Congressman Young says the House Republican leadership plans to make energy a top priority, and he thinks that could include developing the coastal plain of the Arctic Refuge.
Oh, Anwar's possible, and I think it's very likely.
Young says the leadership's initial to-do list also includes repealing or reforming Obama's health care law, deregulation, and a transportation package. With all this controlled by a single party, Young and Murkowski acknowledged the pressure will be on Republicans to deliver. I'm Liz Ruskin, reporting from Anchorage.
And that's the news from Sandpoint. I'm Marissa Williams, and you're listening to KSDP 830 AM.